Sometimes I feel like God does things in spite of us. We'll just get out of His way. We'll see Him do things in ways that we could never comprehend. I want to actually just then, and I know you're going to chastise me, but in lieu of time, just look at the first part of this section in Ephesians, because I think it is so applicable to what we've seen God do. And Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 15. And the whole portion of this is just remarkable. And so I want to spend a significant amount of time, enough time on it. But I want you to hear a passion that I think we miss on understanding our relationship with each other. You know, I got 4 kids, and now I got 5 grandbabies, and they are all on my mind at various times of the day. Sometimes I respond by picking up the phone or sending a text message or an email, or sometimes I just pray for them, but their names just kind of fluctuate through my brain, and doesn't matter what I'm doing, it just, you know what I'm talking about, it just kind of pops in. Because they're my blood, they're my family, they're my love, and they're my passion. They are my children, and by extension, my grandchildren. And sometimes I love them so much I send them home. Amen. Some of them I'd like to send home. But they are at my house, so I can't do anything about that. But it's interesting what Paul is about to say in his verse. I want you to think about it in light of what I just said. Look at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, first of all, if you haven't been here with us, we've gone through the first 14 verses of this. Paul is talking about our position in Christ, and that we were chosen in Him, and that we are precious. Now, I wish that I could have chosen my grandbabies, but I couldn't. I wish I could have chosen my children, but I couldn't. But God chose them. God chose my children, and He chose my grandchildren to put them into my life. And so as He's referring to us being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, He responds with verse 15, for this reason. He understands that there is nothing that has escaped God's infinite plan for us, His intimate plan. I don't know if you are much into art, but probably in the last 10 years or so, I have had a greater appreciation for art than I have ever had before. I guess it comes with maturity, or I'm slowing down enough to appreciate it. I have no idea what it is. But when I am in the presence of real art, now, I'm not talking about this stuff that people splatter on the walls, okay? But when I'm in the presence of real art, where someone has taken the time and put on canvas something that is really burned into them, I notice the details, the little things that are part of that canvas, not just the overall picture, but how they might take an inordinate amount of time if they include a hand in that picture. And how much time it took to develop, Miss Artist, is that true? You ever draw on a hand? Do you know how many curves and intricacies there are in just one little pose? And to see how an artist will take the time to spend on such little things, whether it's a crease in a face. And I think about that in the way of this relationship that God has with us, and that He has taken the time to know every little intricate detail of me and my life and my heart and my passions and my pains and my struggles. You know, we kind of get trite when we say that the hair on our head is numbered. And some, it wouldn't take much. But for some of us, it takes a little longer to count. But think about that. God knows us that well. He knows us that intimately, that intricately. And so here Paul is talking about that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he makes this statement. For this reason, because of that intimate relationship, ever since I heard about your faith. Now I want to ask you a question. Is there any relevance to that? Has anybody heard about your faith? Now, he didn't say, I heard about your church attendance and that you got gold stars by your giving your 10% tithe. He didn't say that you checked every box. He said, I heard, ever since I heard, did I die? My microphone went to Toastio's. Ever since I heard about your faith. That's phenomenal. Goodness gracious. Now I slick back my hair and hold this microphone. Y'all going to have to send me an offering. Okay. Did the whole thing go down? Okay, this thing on? Look at it again, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's the and what? And your love for all the saints. He's heard about, how do you think he heard about their faith? From other people. And what do you think they were saying? Man, I want to be around those people. You ever heard somebody talk about the good old days? You remember the good old days? This thing, there we go. I have been in church life forever, and I'm always amazed when I talk to church folk. They say, you know, back in the good old days, back when Reverend Walker was here, you know, and they always kind of go back to a particular stage or time in the life of the church and about what was happening and whether it was God doing it or they were doing it, whatever the case may be. It just seems to kind of get nostalgic. But I wonder if people think about us that way. That I heard about your faith and that they're talking about you. Now, you got to remember now, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. This was as other people were journeying, as they were going along their life, word reached Paul. Now remember, do you remember where I told you Paul was when he wrote this? He was in jail. He was locked up for preaching the gospel. And he heard about faith. Now, did anybody know how the jail system worked in that day? That's very important. Yeah, I think part of this thing about seeing these prisoners that are hanging on the chains of this wall, skin and bones, I think part of that's very true. Because if no one came and fed them, they would literally starve to death. Because no one would come in. The state or the government didn't have the money to feed them. That wasn't part of their thing. It was left up to the family and for those who had passion for them. Matter of fact, was it John? When John was in prison, we hear some wonderful words that came from him, you know, about Jesus, you know. And so that being the case, Paul's in prison, and he said, I heard about your faith. Now, I want you to think about something.
the people that were coming to Paul, you think maybe some of them had gotten saved as a result of the faith of the people of Ephesus. I think sometimes we shortchange what God can do with our one little self. I can't do that much. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I can't stand up in front of people. I can't do all those big things. But I can make a scarf and meet somebody's needs and sense the power of the Holy Spirit and say, I want that. And I can come to Christ as a street person and I can talk to others about your faith. See, I think we shortchange ourselves. Say, that's as far as it goes. I think the statement I said a little while ago, we need to get out of God's way and just do what we're supposed to do and let God do what he wants to do and can do that goes far beyond anything we can ever hope or imagine. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for who? Who is their love for? How do you think? I love you, man. I got it. Inside joke, okay. Was it just I love you? Right back at you. What kind of love do you think he's referring to? And I'm not trying to beat this up, but I want you to hear it. Committed love. Can't pay my light bill. I don't have food. That's the kind of love. Not to say that they can't get up and go to work and be productive and meet their needs. But sometimes we need to say, God, how do you want to do this? You know, most of us see the guy on the street that we pass at the stoplight, says, I'm hungry, we'll work for food. Okay, it's real interesting. The other day, there was a news report of a sheriff deputy who arrested one of these gentlemen, and as he was booking him, he had done something. He pulled out $520 out of his possessions that he had in his pocket because he was just bilking the system. He was taking advantage of it, and you know, and of course, I'm going as I see somebody. Should I do that? I mean, all they're doing is just bilking the system. I'm just going to support their bad habit. You know what? I think if God tells us to do that, the only person that's missing the blessing is us. For all the saints, and this is the part that I want to dwell. I know I've dwelt on this other stuff. Look at verse 16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, before in verse 17, he's going to say what he's praying for. And I'm not, guys, what just happened a few minutes ago was God ordained. It was in line to what God wanted to do. But I have to say, one of the things that really impressed my heart was that if God wasn't listening, he is deaf because of all the prayer warriors that were pounding on heaven's door tonight. That makes sense to you? God ain't deaf. Okay, let me just make that clear statement. But the passion that we're to have when we come before the Lord needs to be, and yes, Jessica needed this tonight, no question about it, but it needs to be an example of what we do when we pray. Instead of a superficial, well, I've done my prayer time for today. I've done that, I've met that little need. you know, because when we are approaching, when we're approaching God, how trivial can we be? Think about this. If you had an appointment with a person who had unlimited monies, and they said to you, look, tomorrow at 2:00, show up. And when you come to me, you can ask me for anything you want. We would dream that night about how much money we would ask for, wouldn't we? We'd make us a list. I ain't kidding you. I mean a list. Here's what, and look, I need the money, but here's what I'm going to spend it on, and it's all good stuff. We'd have that list out. We'd have it typed up, double, triplicate, and we would be ready, and at noon we'd show up because we ain't going to miss our 2:00 appointment. Yeah? And yet we have the opportunity to come before the Creator of all of the world's wealth. And sometimes would you say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. See you tomorrow. And Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now again, it's pretty well understood. There was about 4 years since Paul had met any of these folk. It wasn't yesterday. He had seen probably hundreds of thousands of people in those 4 years. He had probably been through part of his shipwrecks and his snake bites and his all of the stuff that he'd went through in that time. I mean, you know, someone asked me what I did yesterday, and I said, I've slept since then. I can't remember, you know. It's just one of those things. It just, you know, just comes and goes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, okay. You know, we open up. I can't. Maybe this thing's not loud enough. Let me get it a little bit louder. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Wow. And then he says, what is he asking for? He's asking. He is petitioning God for something specific. Look at verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you two things. Wisdom and revelation. That's just about like praying for patience. It's praying for wisdom. But I believe, and I believe Scripture supports, that wisdom is one of the best things to pray for and ask God to give us, is wisdom. It's been one of my desires in my prayer life, my personal prayer life, is to ask God, give me wisdom of how to live in such a way that when things happen, that I get out of your way and know that it's you doing this. And I think, I know I'm beating a horse here, but I believe in my own personal life, that's one of the things that I have discovered is the best thing to do. And that doesn't mean that I stand mute, but there are times wisdom is something that cannot be given earthly. You know, there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. There are a lot of people in this world who's got, you know, FUDs, and they are ignorant. FUDs, PhDs, a FUD. I'm sorry. Never had a FUD. Never even met anybody with a FUD. And so, you know, it's like, it's wonderful that you've got all this stuff behind your name, THD, PhD, MD, AMD, Celeron. I don't care what you got behind your name. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to apply it in your life. And folks, listen carefully to me. Education is irrelevant when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He uses, matter of fact, Scripture says he can use an inanimate object if he so chooses. You want to know what that inanimate object is? A rock. It's his choice. And I think that's what it is. And I think that's what wisdom really is. I'm going to finish here. And he says wisdom and revelation. What is that? What do you think revelation is? To be able to see tomorrow? Inside of what? The mysteries, the secrets. What? But what? All right, Aaron, don't read books back there. Just sit still. No. Well, some of y'all are travelers, okay? I have never been beyond, I've been to New Mexico once. That's as far as I've ever gone to the West. But we one time had a chance to go up. Y'all know where Taos, New Mexico is? You ever been there? You ever been up to Eagle's Nest? Taos, New Mexico is known for its skiing, and it's beautiful. It's up above Santa Fe. And Taos is where a lot of people go there just to hang out. If you go at the base of Taos, there's a mountain range. And that mountain range winds through, does the typical switchback, whatever they call it. And when you get to the very top of that mountain, it's called the Eagle's Nest. Now, I've seen a lot of things, and I'm sure I know for a fact, there are things that I have never seen other than photographs and videos and that type of thing. But I cannot describe how beautiful that was, because it was only something that could be experienced. And then I really understood how really, truly beautiful it was. I think that's what revelation is. It's not just about understanding it a little bit or thinking that you're grasping the concept. But no, it's actually participating in it. Actually seeing it with your own eyes. You know what I'm saying? There's no way to describe that. Most of us could probably give some type of example of something that you saw that just astonished you, that no picture, no description, none of that would ever fit until you actually got into it. And I think that's what revelation really is. Okay? So, as Paul is praying for these people that he so loves, even though he hasn't been with them, he has seen people come through and probably some people who fed him while he was in prison who said, man, I was in Ephesus last month and what's going on over there is mind-boggling. What God is doing is just, I mean, people are, not only are they getting saved, but their needs are being met and they're showing the love of Christ and they're being Christ to those people in such a way that the word is spreading throughout the land. And man, that's great. He said, I'd pray not only for you that you'll have wisdom, but that you'll be able to experience even more what God is doing. And I think that's something that I pray for that. I think that's pretty sharp. To not only understand what God is doing, but then be right in the middle of it.